In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the feast day for righteous Anna, the mother of the Theotokos. This is the day when we celebrate her dormition, her passing into eternal life, when she reposed in the Lord and went into eternal life. And the epistle and gospel reading today are chosen in her honor. I want to look today especially at today's gospel, which at first might be perplexing, especially the Lord's response to those who came to him and said, "Your mother and your brothers are outdoors. They want to see you." He responded in this way. He said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." It's an unexpected response. He didn't say, "Oh, let me go out and see my mother and my brothers." Now, what does he mean? What's he trying to teach us through this unexpected answer? Well, first of all, he's making the point that the most important thing to him is obedience. The very most important thing, that is what makes us kin to him. That's what makes us his family. That's what keeps us in relationship with him. When we are obedient, when we hear the word of God and do it. But he's not saying that in order to exclude his mother and his brothers. Sometimes people in maybe a Protestant background, they sort of take that as dismissive, like, "Ah, my mother and my brothers are nothing, because I only care about those who are in the church." They are included in that number of those who hear the word of God and do it. Think especially about his mother, the Virgin Mary, and how she heard the word of God when the angel came to her and announced to her this great mystery that she would bear God's Son. And what was her response? "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word." She was submissive and obedient to every word that came from God to her. So she is one of those who hears the word of God and does it. And then also, we know from the history of the church that the Lord's brother, James, another brother of his, Jude, went on to become apostles and early leaders of the church. Both of them actually wrote epistles, which are included in the New Testament. Now, I might explain this word brother, because we believe that the Virgin Mary was ever virgin, meaning that she never had marital relations. So where did these brothers come from? These were kin to Jesus, but more likely they were half-brothers, sons of Joseph. Joseph was a widower who had been married before. He was an old man, and that's why when the gospel begins in earnest, when Christ goes out and is preaching, Joseph is nowhere to be found. It's because he's passed on by that time, after Jesus' birth and before Jesus begins his ministry. So these brothers are half-brothers of our Lord, but they too prove to be faithful individuals who hear the word of God and do it. We should point out that Christ, as the eternal Son of God, the all-powerful and eternal Son of God, actually chose these people to be his family for that very reason. He knew what they would become. He knew how they would respond. And so he chose the Virgin Mary. He chose Joseph. He chose Joseph's sons. And he also chose Mary's mother, righteous Anna, who we celebrate today, because she too is a faithful soul who was attentive to the word of God and obeyed it faithfully. We learn about Anna in a second century writing, which records an earlier tradition about the birth of the Virgin Mary, and also some extra details about the birth of Christ as well. It's called the Proto-Evangelion of James. And in the Proto-Evangelion of James, we learn that Anna was married to a man named Joachim, and they were both righteous individuals, very faithful, serving the Lord above and beyond the call of duty. But in their old age, they were childless, and this grieved them. It grieved them not just because they wanted the joy of a family, but also because at that time, being childless was seen as a curse from God. And so those around them blamed them, and especially Anna. They said, look, you must have sinned. You must be unrighteous, and therefore that's why God is withholding this gift of a child from you. And so it grieved them, because in their hearts they did strive to be faithful. And it came to a point where Joachim was so grieved, he decided to go out into the wilderness and spend 40 days and nights fasting and praying and beseeching God and asking, why is this? Why haven't you granted us a child? And when he left, Anna, it says she mourned with a double mourning. Not just over her childlessness, but now over her almost widowhood, her virtual widowhood, because Joachim was so grieved, he was separated from her. He couldn't give her attention. And so their marriage was strained as a result. And so while he was gone, she too prayed and asked God, you know, why is this? And please solve this this problem. Well, both of them, after those 40 days were done, both of them were met by angels who announced to them that they would bear a daughter, that they would bear a child, and that this child would be blessed of God. Beforehand, both of them had promised that if they were granted this blessing of receiving a child, that they would dedicate that child to God. And so the Virgin Mary was born, miraculously in their old age, of course, born in the normal way, but miraculously because of the old age and barrenness of her parents. And then when she was 3 years old, she was dedicated to the temple, to live in the temple in service of God. So Anna is another of these family members of Jesus who hear the word of God and do it. Our Lord, actually this second paragraph seems to be disconnected from the first paragraph, but they actually are intimately connected. They belong together. And this word of our Lord about who his true family are is an illustration of what he has just said. He says, take heed how you hear, for to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. What does he mean here? Be careful how you hear. Well, in the following paragraph, he explains how we should hear. Hear the word of God and do it, right? That's the right way to hear. Not to just hear the word of God, not to just let it go in one ear and out the other, or on the other hand, not to just study it and contemplate it like some, you know, intellectual system that is very interesting and beautiful. No, the most important thing is to put it into practice. Take heed then how you hear. Hear in a practical way, in an obedient way. Put it into practice. For to him who has will more be given. What does he mean? To him who has will more be given. To him who has the zeal and the will to keep this word, God will add the strength to fulfill it. It's beyond us. To do God's will, to live in this righteous way that Christ has taught us, is beyond us. But if we make some effort, then God will add grace to our effort, and it will take us even further. However, from him who has not, from him who does not have the zeal to follow Christ's words, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Even that vain assurance that we might think we have through knowledge will be taken away. Really, in the end, it doesn't matter how much you know, it matters how you live. So let us, brothers and sisters, following the teaching of our Lord, following the example of the family of Christ, as well as all the saints, let us take heed how we hear. Let us hear in such a way that we zealously try to obey what we hear, to live it, to follow it. And God will give us grace to grow in that beyond our strength. To him be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.